eternity the other night.
I saw eternity.
I saw eternity.
Great dream.
Like a great
I saw eternity. Yes, Dr. Shapiro, three of them. Two damn good astronauts and a PhD. We don't know. That's why we called you. The Psyche 14 mission. Yes, hell yes, 13 flawless missions. And then this. NASA, hell, Washington's up in arms over this one. No, no, there's nothing medically wrong with them. That's the problem. What we have is one dead man who just willed it. Another blind who isn't blind, and a third who hears God only knows what. Yes, as soon as you can get them. They saw, they experienced something up there, and we've got to find out what the hell it is, or this whole project's going to be scrapped.
Please.
Can you see anything?
Yes, please. Let me have the blindfold.
Do you see this light, Professor Hughes? What color is it?
All colors. White. It's too bright.
Will you point toward it, please?
It's everywhere. It's too bright.
The room is quite dark, Professor. Now, will you open your eyes again, please?
It isn't dark.
Possible supersensitivity here. Now, Professor, let's
look,
try.
You can drop the Professor crap, okay? I'm just Hughes now, if I'm even that.
Very well. Hughes, then. Just Hughes.
And you're the shrink they sent for?
Psychiatrist, yes. I'm Dr. Shapir. Now, is this dark enough for you?
Make it dark.
No, look,
let
go.
Keep
your hands down.
No,
take it easy. All right. We'll put the compresses back on.
I'm sorry.
We'll try again later on when you've rested.
An experience. Not just an event, mind you. An experience on Mars that sees the consciousness of three space travelers, willing one to die, and forever changing the perception of the other two. Sci-Fi Radio presents an adaptation of Ursula Le Guin's The Field of Vision.
So what are your preliminary findings, Doctor?
Well, one man who's afraid of the light, another whose auditory senses have left him almost catatonic. They both experienced something on that planet. Something that overpowered their senses. One's being drawn into it, the other's afraid of it. I need more information, Colonel Bow, and their backgrounds. Some concrete information on what happened up there.
Well, Hughes entered the space program from astrophysics, Harvard. Had a good record, some say brilliant. Too brilliant for me. You know what I mean, Dr. Shapir, one of those ivory tower intellectuals.
You don't care for him?
His kind and the military don't mix.
Potential for instability, Colonel?
An egghead. NASA's full of him. And he isn't exactly stable at the moment, is he?
No. No, Colonel Bowen, he isn't.
He's the one who discovered the room. Had to unseal it, didn't he? Damned intellectuals and their curiosity. No military man would go snooping around unless he was ordered to.
You blame Hughes for Captain Temsky's condition, then?
Hell yes. And Commander Rogers' death, too. Don't forget that.
There's nothing we can do about Commander Rogers. But Captain Temsky...
Listen here. Now, Temsky was a crack test pilot. Nerves of steel, an Air Force captain.
There was no indication of his...
winding up like this? Hell no, there wasn't. He was all military, Doctor. He even coached a little league team. Now, I don't know. He's crazier than Hughes.
I don't think it's a matter of mental illness. It's something...
Well, what the hell do you call it then, Doctor, when a man sits on a stool all day, staring and listening to something inside his head? A man who doesn't even know his own wife. Hums some kind of a classical tune or the other when she tries to talk to him. Hell, Pimsky hated that stuff. Sent her out of the room in tears. Let me tell you this, Susan is one tough woman, too.
You're saying that beyond the hysterical deafness, the man has somehow changed. He's different now.
Like day and night.
Something changed his perception then.
Hughes drove him crazy.
Captain? Captain Temsky? You can hear me, can't you? Well, my voice is disturbing you, isn't it? It's interfering with something you would prefer to hear. I thought so. Stop humming again if you can understand what I'm saying.
Where the hell are we, Dr. Shapir?
What if I were to offer you absolute darkness?
What do you mean?
Total and complete darkness. A chamber devoid of light. We're in such a room now. We could remove the compresses and you'd be safe to talk. To tell me what happened.
Total darkness?
A special chamber devoid of light.
It's just the light, you know? Just the light, nothing more.
Remove the compresses.
Yes. Of course, I... Oh, God! Oh, my God, the room! Rogers! Rogers, you see it, don't you? It's in here with us. Hold on, Rogers. Stop screaming like that. Temsky, where's Temsky? Oh, God, Temsky! Temsky! Is that you? Hold on to me. I can't see you for light. Help me. It's Rogers. He's screaming in sort of bursts, like barking. As if he's trying to get out whole sentences at once. Temsky, you can hear it, can't you? You can hear him barking. Oh, God, it's like a seizure. I've got to pull him out of here. Like all his fuses blew, burned him out. Where is he? I can't see. Light. Try to see what I touch and can't.
Hughes,
I don't understand.
Hang on, Hughes. I'm right here. Take it easy, sir. It's only the darkness. Only the darkness.
Oh, God.
Psychiatric counseling session, 18 July, Dr. Shapir, and patient 2131, Dr. Geraint Hughes.
Hello, Hughes. I won't stay long. Listen, that wasn't such a bright idea of mine, the chamber. I'm sorry. I had no idea. No right, either. Would you rather I left?
No.
All right, I need a little company, too. Someone to talk to. You seem to be pretty calm.
As long as I keep my eyes closed.
Listen, I have a queer story about Joe Temsky. Not a story, just a queer fact, actually. Did you know that they've written on his record that he's functionally deaf?
Deaf?
Yes, deaf. Well, I began to wonder.
Dr. Blair.
I go in and talk to Temsky, you know, I touch him. I try to make contact, any kind of contact, to get through. No go. You know, I've got a theory.
What theory?
Suppose, maybe, but just maybe. Hughes can't hear me. Suppose his hearing is flooded with the sounds of his experience. Something like your sight being blinded by what took place in that room.
You mean he's hearing things?
Yes.
Listening?
Yes.
You can't shut your ears.
That's what I thought, too. Could be rough, couldn't it? Well, what I thought was, what about trying to shut them for him? Put earplugs in his ears.
Then he wouldn't be able to hear you.
No, but he wouldn't be distracted. If you had to watch your light show all of the time, you wouldn't be able to pay much attention to me or anything else, right? Maybe it's like that for Joe. Maybe there's this noise drowning out everything for him.
It would be more than noise.
I don't suppose you'd like to talk about what happened there in that room. No. All right.
Notes on Joe Temsky. Subject, earplugs. Observation date, July 20th at 0700 hours. Temsky's a heavy sleeper. Easy to insert ordinary wax plugs in his ears while he slept. When he awakened, he sat up, stretched, scratched, and looked for what appeared to be something to eat. Then he began to grow uncomfortable. At least he appeared to be uncomfortable. Maybe disoriented. Then he looked around, left, right, nervous. Maybe the jerky head movements were an attempt to find that vanished sound, the lost chord. Then he grew more disturbed and alert. His hands groped for his ears to find the cause of the silence. He found the earplugs and removed one. Then he sighed deeply and seemed to slip back into the sound within.
Good, Temsky. That's an hour with the plugs in. I know you can't hear me, but I'm proud of you. And we've come up with a drug that will deaden your auditory nerve endings for 5 hours at a time. It will be ready next week. Now let me take these plugs out.
Dr. Thompson, report to emergency.
September 3rd, notes on Joe Temsky. Subject, auditory nerve experiments, 1,400 hours. Patient responds to drugs quite well. Somehow seems relieved, yet grows anxious at times, as if wanting to go back, to turn his interest inward again. Patient asks to see Hughes.
Well, how about it, Doctor? We're making progress. Mm-hmm. I got the press, NASA, Washington all over me.
I'm sensitive to that, Colonel, but we're still probing for answers.
Well, I'm not sensitive. Now, you fix Temsky, you hear me? You fix him, and I want him flying again. You can be sensitive with that other guy.
How are you feeling, Hughes? Hughes? I guess a little withdrawn today. You feel like just listening? Temsky wants to see you. The new drug's working. It's blocking out those sounds he hears. But he has some questions about what really happened. You could help him a great deal if you would.
Well, how do I communicate with him? Sign language?
He can talk to you while you respond on the word processor. Would that be agreeable to you? Hughes, he needs assurance that something really happened in that room you found, that it wasn't all in his head.
Oh, something happened up there, all right.
Hughes? Oh, man, it's good to see you. Let me read this. Yeah, it was a poor choice of words. I'm sorry, Hughes. I wish you could see, too. Well, it's working. I mean, the drug makes the sound stop. But I'm worried, Hughes. Did something real happen to us up there? Or was it all in my... Yeah, you're right. I mean, if all this was just inside my head, the earplugs would actually help improve the reception. Then you're saying something did happen inside that room. God, Hughes, what was it? Hughes? Susan? Yeah, she's fine, just fine. I put her through a hell of a time, though. And what am I saying? I put myself through a hell of a time. See, when they first stuck those plugs in my ears, when I woke up and there was this silence, I was really spooked. It took me a long time to come back from where I'd been. And I didn't much want to come back. That I was suffering from hallucinations, or maybe I was crazy. I don't know. When Shapir began telling me how long it had been, and I realized that this was Earth, you know, that's what spooked me. I thought maybe all this had been some kind of hallucination. It scared me. Like suddenly I was two different people. But I began to put it together to see that it wasn't a split, but a... yeah, exactly, a change. It changed me. God, it is real. I mean, because when I can hear, that's all I can hear. And when you can see, that's all you can see, right? Wow, we have to be artificially blinded and made deaf not to hear it and see it. That's it, isn't it? Oh, no. Mm-mm. Beautiful. It took me a long time, at least I thought it was a long time, to begin to get it. At first, it didn't make any sense. Jesus, it scared the hell out of me. You or Commander Rogers would say something and, I don't know, there'd be these kinds of chords all around your voice, like rainbows around a prism, so you can't even see the prism. Well, that's what it's like for you, isn't it? Well, it's the same, only with this hearing, it's like everything turns into music. I'll tell you what, though. What I'd like to do while I'm out of touch is get it all down somehow. Huh. One of the things I've learned is the only way to cope with this thing is to surrender to it. Then it seems to come into perspective. Has it been like that for you? Afraid? Afraid of what, Hughes?
You don't like them? You don't like them? Carry motor, car, telephone.
Let's spend the last few minutes in here, darling.
Look at me, Joe. I'll speak slowly so you can read my lips. This is the day room. I wanted some time alone with you.
I've never been in here. Somehow I feel drawn to it. Where's the piano?
Joe, watch my lips. I thought you said you'd never been in here before.
I haven't. Yet I just know there is one. There it is. Come on, I want you to play for me.
Joe, what's gotten into you? You couldn't hear the music any more than you can... Joe, please, look at me. You've never liked to hear me play, especially the music I've been trained to play.
A man can change, can't he? Come on, sit down. I'll sit next to you.
What would you have me play, kind sir?
Something beautiful.
If you could hear it, you might like this.
But shouldn't this section sound like this? Taking over again. Beautiful sound.
Joe? Oh, Joe, it's so beautiful. It's the most beautiful music I've ever heard. Joe, I don't understand any of this, but that was beautiful. It was the most beautiful music I have ever heard. I've never been so filled with...
love?
Yes. Love. Joe, can you really hear me?
Yes. Somehow, now I can. That music, Susan, that was what I heard. At least it was my feeble attempt to recreate what I heard.
It was so beautiful. I don't understand any of this. Your ability to play, the power of that music, it's all beyond...
yeah, knowledge itself, I know. I understand that now. The understanding comes when one surrenders to it completely. When you recreate it for others to hear, that's when it lets go of you.
But what is it?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. But whatever it is, it's in the room with us. And it's in the music. And I want to share it.
Working in the dark, Hughes?
That's not exactly funny, Joe. If you could hear me, I'd tell you.
But I can hear you.
Impossible.
No, I mean it. Go on, turn your back again to the oscillator. Say something.
Ptomaine poisoning.
Ptomaine poisoning.
What?
Okay. See, I'm hearing you. But I haven't lost the music. I've got it all together.
Okay, I've almost locked in on the sound we heard up there. Now, the wavelength and frequency will allow me to get an accurate measurement of all...
Wait, come on, Hughes. That sound you're making wasn't what we heard up there.
I've got to study these holos. If I can just see something besides these damned images,
Hughes,
I can get a concrete handle on what we experienced
Hughes,
up there.
Hughes, the holos were blank. You can't photograph what we saw, what we experienced. Jesus, Hughes, take off your blinders.
No.
You can't stay inside yourself forever. Come out. You can't choose blindness, Hughes.
Well, why can't I?
Not after you've seen the light.
What light?
The light, the word, the truth we've been taught to perceive and to know.
Get out. Get out, Timsky.
The computer's ready for the run on the data from a room size, sir.
Good. Put it on audio response.
Right. Room side bar, center left, ga, go, you are a reset mode, happy comprehension, nonsense, proceed, nonsense, no sense, real, good, ga, proceed, form, uninform, ga, and run.
It was determined that there should be another mission, a Psyche 15. To re-examine, to re-evaluate the site, the room, and then to reseal it for all time.
I think you're overdoing it, Hughes.
It has to be here, the answer.
They're sending me back to New York. I asked for another 2 weeks with you here, but no go.
It's all right.
Somehow I've failed. I tried, but I...
No, no, it wasn't you. You couldn't have... Oh, never mind.
But...
nothing matters.
But your experiments...
an illusion. Just as any answers you would have found.
No.
Oh, you think not? Look, Doctor. Look, I'm removing these silly blinders. Look! Hide and seek. I spy. You're it. You want to know what I see?
Yes.
A blot. A shadow. An incompleteness. A rudiment. An obstruction. Something completely unimportant. You see, it doesn't do any good to be a man,
and
even...
And when you look at yourself?
Oh, the same, just the same. A hindrance, a triviality, a blot on the field of vision.
What is the field of vision?
What do you think? What is a true vision of? Reality, of course. I have been reprogrammed to perceive reality, to see truth. I see God.
Those were Temsky's words, too. At his last lecture and performance. Only he heard God.
Well, for me, seeing is believing. But I'll be damned if I'll become a missionary like Temsky.
A missionary?
Can't you see, Doctor? Can't you see that's what the room is? A training center, a briefing room. It's a
religious center, a church?
A place where you're taught to see God and hear God and know God and love God. A conversion center, a place where you're converted, where your mission becomes the mission. We learned the mission. We came out with the mission. We weren't explorers anymore. We were missionaries, bearing the truth, charged with bringing it to the other races. All the poor damn heathens living in outer darkness. We are the bearers of the truth, the answer. Nothing else matters. The earth doesn't matter. The stars don't matter. Death doesn't matter. Nothing is anything. Only God is.
A new God.
Not a God. God, the one true God, immanent in all things, everywhere, forever. I have learned to see God. All I have to do is open my eyes, like now, and I see the face of God. And I'd give all my life to see a tree. Just a tree. A chair. A plain wooden chair. Ordinary. It can keep their God. It can keep their light. I want the world back. I want questions, not the answer. I want my own life back. And my own death.
On the recommendation of the Army psychiatrist who took over the case of Gerent Hughes after Shapir was dismissed, Hughes was moved to a military hospital for the insane, where, unfortunately, he carried out a successful suicide attempt, slashing his wrist with a spoon handle which he had sharpened by rubbing it against the bed frame. It is an interesting fact that he killed himself on the very day the Psyche 15 mission returned from Mars, bringing the documents and records which, as interpreted by the first apostle, now form the first chapters of the revelation of the ancients, the sacred text of the holy and universal Church of God, bringer of light to the heathen, sole vehicle of the one eternal truth. Our cast featured Wirt Kane as Colonel Bowen and Howard Fisher as Dr. Shapir. Astronauts Hughes and Temsky were played by Rick Spiegel and Greg Loso. Susan was portrayed by Nance Williamson. The original story, The Field of Vision, was written by Ursula K. Le Guin and adapted and directed for Sci-Fi Radio by your host. All music and sound effects were created by Ron DiIulio. The series producers are Kevin Singer and Ron DiIulio. Support for this program has been provided by a grant from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. This is James Edward Kerr, inviting you to join me soon for our next venture into the imaginary worlds of sci-fi radio.